The Podcast Under the Stairs, Void Diary Entry Number 29.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me? This is Duncan McLeish from the Podcast Under the Stairs. I'm fairly sure these messages are getting out now. Just a quick update on the current situation. After close communication with the Secret Service and the American government, we tried a link-up and teleported through the first parts of a device which I will use to get me home. This is the most exciting news that I've had since being trapped in the void, and I'm very hopeful that in time with the other parts ascending through, I will be able to get the device up and running again, get back to where I belong. End of message.
You're listening to Druid FM on 192 BC.
Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone, and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs, episode number 67. I'm your host Duncan McLeish, and welcome to the show. Episode 67 continues our look at the top 10 horror performances by Christopher Lee versus Vincent Price, and we are at number 3 on this countdown. Tonight we will be discussing Rasputin, the Mad Monk, starring Christopher Lee, and Theatre of Blood, starring Vincent Price. And joining me later on to discuss those movies is none other than my good friend, Mr. Johnny Krug, from Kruger Nation Horror Podcast. But before then, let's update you on what's coming up on the podcast Under the Stairs, because this week will feature two shows. That's right, coming Thursday this week, you will get the conclusion to the Baz v Horror look at A Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. We are closing off with the final three movies that we've selected for that franchise, which is Wes Craven's A New Nightmare. We're going to be covering Freddy vs. Jason, and closing out with A Nightmare on Elm Street remake from 2010. So I know some of yous out there have been gagging to hear the last of Baz's thoughts on the franchise, and the ultimate question is out there. Baz loved that Friday the 13th remake. Will he enjoy the Nightmare on Elm Street remake as much? I don't know, but I do know. I've recorded it already, but you guys don't, so only time will tell. And then we will be following that show up on with the countdown continuing to number 2 on the list, which will drop on the following Monday, a week today. And that show will feature Danny Trioxin, and that's another classic show. And then one more in the countdown before we will finally get a chance to crown a winner of our top 10 countdown and get ourselves ready for Baz v Halloween, 5 weeks of pain, and I can't wait to inflict it on him. Another couple of things I wanted to say, actually, while I remember, just before I cut off to the next segment. Just a huge thanks again to everyone that has contributed to the Facebook page and sent through messages of support in the last week. There's been loads of feedback coming through. Some people that waited off to check out the anniversary show have come through with very, very, very kind words, and I can't thank you all enough for that. I will be calling on your help very soon for the Baz v Halloween 2-year anniversary show. I've already got a couple of quirky ideas which will involve listener participation. I'm kind of toying with the idea of having the biggest Ola sexy bitches montage clip of all our listeners. I don't know how that would work or if it's possible, but I'm going to start putting my thinking cap on and see if we can get as many of you to submit an Ola sexy bitches through, so I can put that in a giant montage for the Baz. Because what better way to celebrate that man than to regale him with his catchphrase over and over again from all around the world. So that's just a thought. But yeah, just thanks very much for everyone supporting the show and checking us out. Right, I think we need to take a break now. I think we need to compose ourselves and come back with one of my favourite podcasters out there. I have so much time for this guy. I think he's immensely talented. Coming back will be myself and Johnny Krug from Kruger Nation Horror Podcast Reviews. And we will be speaking to that man right after this.
Do you like movie reviews that are insightful, thought-provoking, and delivered by somebody who's trained to critically dissect every aspect of a motion picture without ever having to use obscenities?
then you've got the wrong show. Kruger Nation Horror Podcast is ready to feed your slasher movie and exploitation needs. There'll be more blood, expletives, and titties than you can shake your grandma's beetle flaps at. Visit www.krugernation.com.
Oh, good God! A butthole casserole!
May I have your attention, please?
Mr. Harker, I'm glad that you've arrived safely. I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
I'm going to give the people what they want. Sensation, horror, shock.
Then tell us where Makata is.
Fear causes tremendous tensions in the body. If you can't relieve those tensions, why can't they become strong enough to kill you?
They will be destroyed.
Oh, splendid. This must be my malaria.
And now, for our more dreadful sacrifice.
Ladies and gentlemen, please do not panic, but scream! Scream for your lives!
I intended a peaceful occupation, but you have made that impossible.
You suspect foul play?
It's almost time to lock up the house. Then your party will really begin. I wonder how it'll end.
I will flog every person in this village.
You are about to enter hell.
You will warn the crew that if any one of them lets slip what really happened to the Armada, I will personally cut out his tongue.
Salt and mercury, effective against the dark forces. They will protect you and Simon. If we can save him.
The mark of Satan is upon them.
I appreciate the fact that you are here to help me. Nevertheless, I would remind you that you are also a guest in my house.
Welcome, fool. You have come of your own free will to the appointed place. Gain no.
The pit! The pen.
It is time to keep your appointment. With the Wicker Man.
And welcome back. So, it's time to tackle another Vincent Price versus Christopher Lee. This one is number three on my list, so we're getting close to the end now, and as expected, the movies are getting harder to differentiate and pick a winner between the two. The two movie reviews we'll be discussing are Theatre of Blood from 1973 and Rasputin the Mad Monk from 1966. And I've had to call in the big guns for this one, because this one's not an easy win for either actor, but I knew when I chose Theatre of Blood at this position, there was going to only be one podcaster out there that would want to come on this show. He's a very good friend of mine. He has a podcast called Kruger Nation that may give away who it is, I don't know. For the insanely bright ones out there, you've worked out already. For those that are still half asleep and drinking their morning coffee, it is, of course, Johnny Krug. How you doing, sir?
Good, man. How's it going, dude?
I'm doing fantastic. This one's been a long time in the making, because we spoke about me doing this segment like about 6 months ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, and I remember when you told me when we were gonna finally do it, I was like, holy shit, that's a long time away.
It really, really is. And at the time, I think off air we were discussing certain movies, and you were like, that is Theatre Blood on that list? I said yes. You were like, well, that's the show I'm doing. That's the show I'm doing. So I was like, from that moment on, this show has been earmarked directly for you. And that's because you have a mad love for Theatre Blood, don't you?
I do, and hopefully that doesn't give away too much. But what you've done here, Duncan, is essentially, you're the parent who is forcing the other parent to choose which child is their favorite. You're like, who do you like more? And I'm like, God damn it, I like them both.
I'll tell you what, from doing this list, I mean, I've only got two left to do after this. What I have found out in doing these lists is that even the performances, which, I mean, some of the ones that have come before, you know, Christopher Lee has only been like a... has been part of an ensemble cast and still managed to score a win with a small role over Vincent Price. And then there are other movies where, you know, Vincent Price has just put on a tour de force from start to finish. It's difficult not... I mean, we're dealing with two of arguably the greatest horror actors of all time, and their back catalogue of movies in the horror category is... formidable is a word that doesn't do it justice. I mean, it really is incredible, the variety and the levels of... the professionalism they approach the roles. I think that's the big thing to me. Even when you watch something like the Howling 2, which is a movie I don't really like, but Christopher Lee lends so much authenticity to that movie. It's almost as if he didn't know that it was a kind of dumb sequel, and he comes in and he just performs the fucking shit out of that role, and you're just like, yeah, this movie would be so much worse if you weren't in it. And I think that was the thing throughout both their careers. And Theatre of Blood is one that, and I'm going to get a lot of shit for this because it's obviously it's number three on my list, so it's not my favourite Price performance, but I know the majority of people I know, and I think you might be included in this one, cite this one as his best movie.
I don't think it's his best. No.
Oh, right.
For me, this is one of the more fun movies.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I mean, I'm hands down always going to go with Dr. Fibes,
mm-hmm.
just because for me, that's just... is such a quintessential, I don't know, it's just such an amazing flick. So I can't put this above that, but this one for me is more of like, it's almost kind of like Dr. Fibes, but in a like much campier way, which is hard to believe if you've seen Dr. Fibes.
Yeah.
You know, earlier sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Earlier you said something to the effect of Christopher Lee and Vincent Price are arguably two of the best, you know, horror actors ever, and I just want to tell your listeners that's not an opinion, that's fact. You can look it up on Wikipedia. I'm editing the entry right now.
And you have a show which recently returned after a bit of an extended hiatus. And can I just say, even when you say on your show, this one's a bit of a rush job, you know, it's going to sound pretty messy, I'm sorry for that. You put us all to shame, Johnny, because it's still probably it's one of the most entertaining shows I've heard. Like, I think that's the thing about the format of your show. I've said it many times on and off here to you, is the level of fun that's attributed to your show, just the format and all the rest, but the fun that you approach the movies and your kind of your general feeling towards horror and your outlook towards it just make them so easy to listen to. And even if you're being overly critical about it, it's still like easily up there as like one of the best shows that week, you know. Just kind of off the cuff, I'll just drop this one while I'm trying to do something else, and it still just stands head and shoulders above the rest. And I've always encouraged people to check out your show. However, sometimes I forget to tell them how they can check out your show. Could you let the listeners know where they should be going right after this show finishes?
Yeah, if you want to check it out, it's KrugerNation.com, and also on iTunes and other various podcatchers. It's Kruger Nation Horror Podcast if you want to check it out. But thank you for all that, dude. Like, seriously.
Oh, no.
I tend to not think very highly of the show, and then people like you are always telling me how good it is, and I just it makes me feel like I should be more productive.
I think it gets to that point. I mean I've never had to do the solo show, you know. I'm the main person on the show, but I always have the company of another guest to bounce off of. That any segment I record myself, I'm incredibly critical of. I mean, to the point where I'm listening back saying, that seems, why have I taken a long extended pause there? That needs to be edited out and all these sort of things. And I'll listen to your show and it sounds effortless, and as such makes me hate myself, Johnny.
This may make you go a little easier on yourself. It's definitely not effortless, because I'm the same way. I do the show and I'm very overly critical, so it's because I have ODD or ODD OCD. What the hell's ODD? It sounds like OPP. I'm very obsessive compulsive when it comes to things like that. So I'm very it may sound like it's coming off a lot smoother than it actually is going.
But But yeah, it's like I say, it's easily one of my favourite podcasts. It's always been, since I first came across it, one of my favourite podcasts. And I encourage everyone to check it out. Now that I have finished stroking you off here, Johnny, it's time to tackle... This is just going to be... I can already envisage an amazing conversation. But we're going to have to discuss 1973's Theatre of Blood. The listeners are going to have to listen to that trailer right now. And when we come back, we're going to be discussing that movie right after this.
Well, Gary, here we are. Somehow we made it through here.
What? Where?
We're in the sequel, of course.
Sequel? What sequel?
Well, Sloppy Seconds, the movie sequel podcast. Come on, get with it.
Oh, that's right. Our podcast is exclusively about sequels, where the budget is bigger.
Well, we don't actually have a budget.
Get away from her, you bitch!
But the action's more exciting?
I don't know much about action.
Hey, you got a light?
Sure, man.
Allow me, scum.
Babes are hotter?
Wait, there's babes involved?
How about some of this? So tasty and hard and firm that it just melts in your mouth.
Do the kills get gorier and more extreme?
Kills? Did we talk about this?
Never mind. So find Sloppy Seconds, the movie sequel podcast, exclusively on the Horror Flea Network.
Because when all other podcasts are through, we're already thinking about part two.
72 movies that shocked a nation and made an infamous list, the Video Nasties. Hi, I'm Duncan McLeish, and you can join me and my co-host, Andy Blockley.
Hello, hello.
As we chat about the 72 films, reviewing them all from the Video Nasty list, live on our podcast. Tell them about it, Andy.
Okay, 1982, 20,000 films were seized in London alone because they were too nasty to be watched. Come and find out why.
That's right. The show's called Doing the Nasty Podcast. You can find it exclusively on the Horrorphilia Network of podcasts. Come and check us out.
What the hell do you want here?
Must be drunk.
Quite insane. Oh my god.
In the midst of life, we are in
sorry to have missed the meeting, but my heart is with you.
Can't believe it. His head cut off.
Thank you. Welcome back. So you've just heard the trailer for our first movie review. Number three on my list for Vincent Price, we are going to be discussing Theatre of Blood. This was directed by Douglas Hitchcock. And the movie stars, obviously, Vincent Price, but Diana Rigg, Ian Henry, Harry Andrews, Carol Brown, Robert Coot, Jack Hawkins. There are other people in here. And the synopsis, a Shakespearean actor takes poetic revenge on the critics who denied him recognition. This movie is... This movie's fucking wonderful. every time I approach it, every time I sit down to watch this movie, I forget how much fun this movie is. Like, when people talk about horror comedies, you know, everyone sometimes gets the blinders on and focuses intensely on something like Shaun of the Dead. And I understand why, because that was the first horror comedy in a few years to really kind of stamp its mark down on cinema as, this is a comedy that has horror in it, you will enjoy it and laugh. And that's right, but I think people sometimes forget there is a rich history of horror comedies out there, dating right back to the very start. And Theatre of Blood is top tier for me in this, not only because Vincent Price is, on some level, kind of poking fun at himself, but at the same time, kind of having fun with this idea of really playing... I mean, anyone who's an actor knows the name Shakespeare, and he gets to play the greatest Shakespearean roles and then put this murder twist on them, which is just wonderful, and I still think the humour holds up very well. There's a lot of kind of horror comedies from like 60s and 70s that sometimes they don't quite... The humour's just changed so much since then. But this one, I still get a kick out of it. And his character in this one, Lionheart, who was an actor who was putting on a series of Shakespearean plays, and the critics of the time kind of poked fun at the particular... plays he was doing, and when it came to the award at the end of the year, they kind of gave it to someone else who was, in Lionheart's mind, undeserving. So he fakes his own death and comes back and then takes out each of the critics in a manner in which someone dies in each of the Shakespearean plays. And very similar to Fibes, like you were mentioning earlier on, it's very similar to Fibes. We have cops that just are like two steps behind constantly throughout this one, and we kind of follow Price just having an absolute ball of a time, whether it's making people eat their poodles, which is fantastic, or immersing someone in a vat of wine, or even a very over-the-top and clearly stunt-doubled scene with fencing, which is fantastic as well. It's just, from start to finish, this movie is an absolute blast. Johnny, tell me why you love Theatre of Blood.
Well, one thing I love about this movie, and the reason I think it holds up as far as the comedy aspect, is because this movie is very un-PC. Like, when you watch this, I mean, you have Vincent Price playing the super over-the-top Nelly gay hairstylist in one part, and then you have him playing this, like, foreign chef, and every character he plays and everything they do, it is just over-the-top, and I don't think this movie could be released nowadays without people getting, you know, really pissed off about what's going on. Like, you can't do that. Like, they were one step away from blackface in this movie. Pretty much. But this movie, I love this movie. One thing I really like is that you were talking about how it's a comedy, but it is a comedy, and it has a lot of really funny stuff that holds up, but... Dude, this movie's PG, and it's got some dark deaths in it, man. That first death in this movie, where the dude gets slashed to death like Julius Caesar, and then later on there's another death, and it's like, holy shit, that is brutal, man, when you actually think about it.
Yeah, yeah, I think the way they... It's a very fine line between, you know... Like, I've always said, horror comedies are probably... I mean, it's difficult to do a comedy, yes, and it's very difficult to do a horror. To do a horror comedy is insanely difficult, because finding that balance where one doesn't overshadow the other, and the two sit like in a perfect marriage, is really, really, really difficult. And this movie, it's like the balance is perfect. That there are some really horrific scenes that happen. I mean, there's a woman who dies by basically electrocution. You know what I mean? She's strapped to a chair and her head is melted. And it's a vicious, horrible thing to happen to someone when you juxtapose that with the insanely over-the-top camp hairdressing, kind of the gay kind of hairdresser persona that is played by Vincent Price in the scene. You are laughing and at the same time you are appalled. And I mean, that is, to get that balance right is so insanely difficult. But to have the, because this movie's like super confident, and I think the reason it can be super confident, I mean, this is like early 70s now. Price has been in the industry, particularly doing horror cinema, for the best part of 3 decades by this point. And he is, at this point as well, he's overdoing a lot of movies in the UK, because it's not because he's not recognised in America, he's just more a bankable name in the UK at this point. So he does a lot of UK performances. I mean, this, Witchfinder General, are recorded not that too far apart in terms of the year. There's only like maybe about 3-4 years between them. And he's doing a lot over here, and it just works. I mean, this has got a very British sense of humour about it. It's all very kind of, I couldn't imagine this sort of movie being made in America, not because of the kind of the way it butts against the bone of what is PC and what's not, but just the humour as well. It's very stiff upper lip, it's very British, but not in such a way that it detracts from its universal love through different continents in the world. Everyone just gets on board with this one. And like you said, like when you have your first kill being a man repeatedly stabbed to death by and surrounded by a group of ugly homeless people, it's, you know, it's pretty harrowing to see that. But then you get the comic relief constantly right before it or right after it for each one. And I mean, you've even got points, the particularly robust critic with the poodles, who's made to eat his poodles, which is fucking fantastic. But even his role, where he's basically talking to the audience, I mean, he's looking at the camera, you know, they're my babies, you know. You know, it's making that connection there. It's almost breaking the fourth wall between the audience member and the movie. And then to see him have a funnel shoved down his throat and be force-fed his dogs is pretty fucking graphic, and the movie just revels in that. And like I say, I think the main reason it can do everything it wants to so ostentatiously is because Vincent Price is just pulling in one of the best performances he's ever done. And it's because he's mixing that, the kind of classic villain persona that he was known for, but having so much fun with it. So over the top and camp in his performance, but it just, there's something about that that makes the deaths more menacing. I think it's absolutely wonderful.
Well, one thing I really liked about this movie is you were talking about towing the line between, you know, comedy and horror. And I think a really good scene in this movie that does that and does it almost perfectly is the scene where he's decapitating the guy in his bed.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because it should be very intense, but, and you know what's happening, but through the whole scene, it's got so many loaded jokes that are absolutely hilarious. Just, you know, between his assistant, who looks like Jeff Lynne from ELO, dabbing his forehead off, or the wife, you know, waking up after the sedator, so they poke her in the ass again, and it, just the whole scene is fantastic, and I like it because you know the next day is going to be just horrific. But even the next day when she finds her husband dead, it's hilarious because the maid finds him first. She collapses. The wife screams. I think she passes out too. And then the maid wakes up and the head's next to her. And she passes out again. It's just, to me, it's brilliant. It's just absolutely brilliant.
And I love the fact that in one of the deaths, he basically convinces the husband to kill his wife.
Oh, that one was weird.
Yeah, it's, and I think the thing about it as well is, it's, you know, it's the, I mean, all the other people die in this movie. He doesn't die. He's basically committed to spend the rest of his life in jail with the knowledge that he, you know, basically insane, that with the knowledge that he has killed his own loved one, and that the whole premise behind it, the whole setup, is obviously he's an insanely jealous husband over his wife, and he makes it set up. He's obviously going there to, and he must have been doing it for a while. I think that's the beauty of it. All some of these ones have been set up for so long because he must have been visiting the wife for a while under the guise of being a masseuse, and because she accepts him in and all the rest, and he busts down the door and then basically proceeds to strangle the life out of his wife while he walks out and gets the police to go up and arrest him. I just think it's wonderful, and at the same time it's so vicious. I mean, the thought of that, I think, is in, you know, one of the, I think, is one of the strongest kills in there, is that, you know, he didn't even need to kill him. He just needs to implant this small nugget of deceit and his head that will force him, that character is so mentally unstable anyway, that small nugget in there is enough to set him off. I think it's I think the good thing about this one is all the kills are memorable. Like, every single kill in this movie is memorable, and there are not many horror movies that can claim that the body count as high as this. Every single death is memorable, let alone horror comedies. Horror comedies tend not to be that way at all. It tends to be like a one-trick pony with the killer, but this one, the set up, the lavish set pieces, the only other movie I think that comes close to it is Fibes again. Fibes, there's a very over-the-top, ostentatious sort of death for every character in that one as well, and they're set up a kind of similar premise as well. Instead of Shakespearean plays, they're set up as Egyptian plagues. I think that's where it gets really quite interesting, is obviously the stories for these movies are really kind of well written, with that idea that they can really open the floor to Vincent Price to let him do what he does. Very similar how you see like the outtakes of a Jim Carrey movie. And Jim Carrey's basically allowed to do what he wants, you know, the basic point of camera on him. I get the feeling that Vincent Price was kind of very much a similar sort of entity back then, that you didn't need to give him much direction. He just went away and did what he did, and the result of that was gold. I think it's brilliant. I genuinely think this movie is pretty much the flawless horror comedy, and it's one that, like I said before, I sometimes think that people overlook because they think that because it's an older movie, it's just not going to hold up. And if anything, it's the exact opposite. I think the age of this movie just does it well, because people that have never seen this movie will come to it with maybe lower expectations, and it just resonates straight away.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This movie, I mean, it holds up in almost every aspect. I think even, I mean, you can look at it as far as, you know, like it's the stylization and everything that's going on, and you know, and I understand, you know, the 70s with afros and bell bottoms and stuff. But once you get past all that, I think this movie is just it's just a great movie. And one thing that I like about this movie too is, and I don't know any specific scenes that I can say, but I do know that between the murders and the scene that would follow it, there was some really funny editing, where the editing was so good that the next joke would kind of roll off of the previous murder. Like, yeah, they would say something when it cut to the next scene, and then it would be implying what just happened. And it's, that's very smart for a movie back from, what, 74, 73?
Yeah. For right back then, it's just... it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But and all the greatest ways. Right. I think we have done that movie justice, which means that we now need to turn our attention to number 3 on my Christopher Lee list, which is a role which the man himself said he was almost born to play, which is that of Rasputin, the Mad Monk from 1966. We're going to take a very short break. You're going to hear the trailer for that movie. Myself and Johnny are going to come back to discuss that movie right after this.
You're listening to The Podcast Under the Stairs.
Ah! Flesh Like Smoke is the toothsome new shapeshifter anthology from April Moon Books. Curated and edited by Brian M. Sammons with illustrations by Neil Baker, Flesh Like Smoke is a collection of 16 tales of visceral horror from today's most talented authors. Some of these tortured souls lash out against their cursed existence, while others relish the taste of animalistic power. Ranging from gut-wrenching terror to heart-rending pathos, Flesh Like Smoke will leave you salivating for more with every turn of the page. Flesh Like Smoke is available in paperback and ebook format from Amazon.com and AprilMoonBooks.com, as well as other online purveyors of fine literature. Hurry to sink your claws into a copy before the next full moon.
You know those old-time radio shows with the married couples who bicker about the kids and the car and the neighbors? Our podcast is a lot like that.
Yeah. Well, if you replace the kids, the car, and the neighbors with devil movies, theology, and vodka.
My name is X.
And I'm Cootie.
And we are the hosts of Kiss the Goat, a different kind of movie podcast.
Every episode, we review a devil movie. You know, possessions, exorcisms, the Antichrist, and we stomp a mud hole in it, even if we like it.
We are huge fans of comparative religion, and we love to compare real belief systems with what Hollywood seems to think belief systems are.
But don't think we're not civic-minded, because each episode includes our Satan in the News segment, where our fearless correspondent, Sin Fallon, documents the eternal struggle between good and evil.
And, as high-functioning alcoholics, we give every movie its own drinking game, so that you can enjoy the movie just like we did. Ripped to the tits.
And there is ever so much more to the show than that. And let me tell you, it ain't for kids.
Hell, it ain't for most adults.
But it might be for you.
You won't know until you listen to Kiss the Goat exclusively on the Legion Network of Podcasts.
That's Kiss the Goat. We're the lighter side
of the dark side.
Evil. All-powerful, all-terrifying, evil to seek you out and destroy. Now, guys and gals alike, disguise yourself from the most inhuman creatures ever to frighten the wits out of you. Get your Rasputin beard free as you enter the theater to see Rasputin, the Mad Monk, history's man of mystery.
You will apologize for laughing at me.
I am not a peasant woman.
What are you?
I am lady-in-waiting to the Tsarina.
What strange power did this man actually possess? A power that turned people into murderers. Man of violence, terror of a nation, goaded by an insane lust to dominate even its rulers.
He has the Tsarina in his absolute power. Under hypnosis, he can make her do whatever he wishes. Do you understand what that means? He must be destroyed before he destroys us all.
You will go away and destroy yourself.
Rasputin, the Mad Monk! And on the same screaming program...
Get away from there! Get away!
Suddenly, violent, horrible death.
This is an evil place. Corrupt and evil.
Can the dreaded curse of the Orang Sanko turn living woman into deadly, slithering snake? See, venomous, creeping evil create a writhing hell on earth.
I could kill you.
Possibly. But you could never be free then, could you?
trapped like animals in a cage and getting closer and closer, suffocating them with terror. The Reptile. Disguise yourself from the forces of evil. Get your Rasputin beard free as you enter the theater.
And welcome back. So you've just heard the trailer for the second movie review. It's Rasputin, the Mad Monk from 1966, directed by Don Sharp. The movie stars Christopher Lee, Barbara Shelley, Richard Pascoe, Francis Matthews, Suzanne Farmer, Rennie Asherson, Derek Francis. There are other people in this movie. The synopsis for the movie is... The movie chronicles the events of history's man of mystery, Rasputin. Although not quite historically accurate and little emphasis is put on the politics of the day, Rasputin's rise to power and eventual assassination are depicted in an attempt to explain his extraordinary power and influence. Like I said just before we came to this, this is a role that Christopher Lee once said quite resolutely that it was almost a role that he was born to play. I think... It is one of his greatest performances of all time, because who else do you get to play a man so historically renowned as Rasputin than Christopher Lee? There's something, I mean, obviously there's no, to the best of my knowledge, there's no recordings of what someone like Rasputin's voice sounded like, but because he was so well entertained by the aristocracy of the day, and, you know, held as being almost like a prophet of sorts, you could imagine that he had a very powerful sounding voice, a very confident sounding voice. And if ever there was an actor that you could say had a powerful and confident sounding voice, it's Christopher Lee. And Christopher Lee, I think the beauty of this movie is that up until this point, up until like 66, Lee had played his share of villains. The villains he tended to play were monsters, like, you know, your Frankensteins, your Draculas, your mummies, you know, these sort of movies. In this movie, he's playing someone who is real, a real life man who is widely considered very evil and very manipulative. And I think he embraces the role in such a way that he really does make it his own. And I've seen Rasputin played in movies since then, but I don't think anyone's played it any better. And the synopsis is correct. It doesn't really go into the politics of the kind of the end days of Tsarist Russia or anything like that. I don't think it needs to, because what it does do is chronicle the rise of a man who came from nothing to, you know, become a bit of a monk, who was ultimately embraced by the aristocracy of Russia, so much so that he was instrumental in directing where the government would go, their policies and all the rest, and he plays it brilliant. And the death of Rasputin is, you know, it's mythical that, you know, the man, everything was done to him. He was burnt, shot, poisoned, strangled, and eventually what killed him was drowning. Which is just fucking, he's basically the Terminator of the day. I think it's brilliant. I think it's shot really well. I think he encapsulates the role in a way which, like I say, I don't think anyone else could. Had you seen this movie before, Johnny? And if so, or if not, what did you think of it?
Oddly enough, I'm a huge Christopher Lee fan. Like I've seen so many Christopher Lee movies, and somehow this one slipped by me. Like, I had never seen it before, and I was absolutely enthralled with this movie. Because yeah. Another thing, too, is I don't know a whole lot about Rasputin. And so I did a lot of research on Wikipedia and other websites and stuff, trying to read up about him. And before I saw the movie, just so I, because I knew he was a real person. And so just to kind of get some backstory, and this movie, I loved it. I loved it because Christopher Lee is so commanding in every sense. Like, he walks into a room and he just tells every single person, man or woman, what to do. And I love that because, I mean, you talk about his voice. Of course, his voice is going to make people do stuff. But, I mean, if there's a God, I mean, I think Christopher Lee is the voice of God. I mean, that's what I imagine. But it's great. Like, everything about this. And it seems like he really... It seems like he really, really got into this role. You talk about how he said he was born to play this. And, you know, besides the fact that, you know, he had met the people who supposedly assassinated Rasputin and met his daughter years later, I feel like he was this character. Like, he just owned it. Every second he was on screen was fantastic. And I liked it because I had no idea what I was getting into. And from the very beginning of the movie, whenever he heals the guy's wife and then goes and tries to pretty much, like, finger bang his daughter in the barn, I was like, this guy is fucking epic. This is amazing.
Yeah, I think like, the actual, the real-life Rasputin had so much myth about him as a character that it really gives a grand scope for like a storytelling to really delve into because he apparently he was, for lack of a better term, up to his knees in pussy a lot. Like, he pretty much he had his share of women, my share of women, your share of women, Johnny, like everyone's share of women. Rasputin went through, he just went through Russian women as if he was using Kleenex and he had a cold. It was just like disposable women constantly. And it was a lot to do with this idea, this persona of him. What I find fascinating about this one is the stories that Lee told, like, before making the movie and afterwards. That, like you were saying, not only did he get to meet his daughter and things like that, but, I mean, Lee, a very young Christopher Lee, had actually met Rasputin's killer, which is just fucking insane. You know, I mean, he'd actually met the man who's credited as, you know, the ultimate executioner of Rasputin.
Hold on a second. I don't mean to interrupt you, but let's set aside how awesome Christopher Lee is and think about that. He met the killer of Rasputin. He met J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yeah.
The only actor in the Lord of the Rings movies to do that. I mean, this guy, seriously, this guy is like, I mean, he may be God.
I think that was the thing. I think a lot of people were quite surprised when he passed away earlier on in the year, and all these massive, you know, these kind of the memes that come out and all the rest, and, you know, Christopher Lee did this, and it rattles off, and he worked for the British Secret Service. He was instrumental in bringing down the, you know, the Nazi regime from a UK intelligence point of view. He met all these incredibly prevalent people throughout history. And
he did the Howling too.
Yeah, he did the Howling too. And his 90s released a death metal album. So, I mean, you get to that point where, like, any story that's credited against Christopher Lee is just another level of awesome. It's just something else to put on top of a very large pile of awesome things.
I think
that on some reason, when he was talking about the portrayal of the character Rasputin, the fact that he had that kind of knowledge, he had met this person, he had met the killer of the character he would go on to play, is pretty incredible. And when you take into account that he made this movie and he made Dracula back to back.
A lot of the same actors.
Yeah, they did it on the same set. And I mean, when you take that into account, he plays Dracula, which I argued on the previous episode of the show. He not only plays Dracula, but to me, he is Dracula moving forward. He makes Dracula something to be actually scared of.
He's my Dracula, like he's my go-to Dracula.
Oh yeah, and he's terrifying. The bloodshot eyes, the aggressiveness about the character, and then right after making that movie, he then puts in what I regard as the definitive performance of Rasputin. It's just incredible. I mean, I would love to say that this was the golden year for Christopher Lee, but he was making movies up till a couple of years ago. So he just had like a really interesting, varied career, and this movie is just another string in the bow of his fantastic performances. And I think he really does add like a lot of, he adds the flesh and bones to a very mythical man from history, which, I mean, Rasputin, the more you read into that, is like one of the most fascinating people. I mean, he's on some level credited as one of the main reasons that, you know, that Russia overthrew its, you know,
the monarchy,
its aristocracy,
right?
yeah, and then went down the road of Leninism and then ultimately going towards Stalin. They credit all this back to the fact that Rasputin had a specific say within the royal court to make decisions, and his decisions that he made were awful. He claimed that they came to him through visions. I'd like a fascinating historical character, and I think the movie plays into a lot of the hearsay and a lot of the rumours that surrounded the character, but in such a way where that when I watch this movie, it just makes you want to pick up a book and read more into the Rasputin mythology. And that's down to Christopher Lee. He really does make the role his own, and I think, yeah, it's a fantastic performance by a fantastic actor in a movie which I think is criminally underseen. I think people, I mean, this is a Hammer production. A lot of people, one, don't know it's a Hammer production, and a lot of people have never seen it, so.
You know, and the thing is, too, is like you talked about, you know, attributing a lot of that to Christopher Lee. That is 100% accurate, because you watch this movie and he mystifies you with his character and the way he portrays Rasputin. And you just think any other way, like if they'd gone with anybody else, it's like, hey, y'all, it's Rasputin up in here. Like, like you wonder how you would, like, if you'd be interested. Like, I don't know. Like, but Christopher Lee, I mean, first of all, every guy in this movie pretty much wants to fight him at some point.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But they're all tiny. He's like 19 feet tall, and these guys want to fight the mountain. Like, you can't do that. But it gives him this stigma. It gives him this really awesome kind of legend that you're really interested in. In fact, and I write up a lot about it because it makes you, you know, want to. And I think, I don't know if anybody else could have played this role. I mean, I'm not saying nobody could, but not as well. Because it was very well done, and Christopher Lee, shit, he embraced the hell out of it. It's just there's so many things in this that, like, I want to know if they were real or not. I want to know if he just barged his way into some dude's life after winning a drinking contest. You know, like, shit like that. It's like, did that really fucking happen? And then the next day, a woman comes over and he's like, hey, go get us some food and wine. And I'm like, holy shit, you just sent out the guy who lives there to get you to run errands for you.
I think it's one of, like I say, overall, I think it's very difficult to pin down what the definitive Lee performance is, but I think this is certainly up there. Johnny, we are going to take a short break, but when we come back, it's the serious part of the show. I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to put your serious hat on. Okay. So you're going to have to take that one with the propeller off and put the serious cap on. Because we've got to deliberate and decide who is the better performer and why. And we'll see if the runaway success, which is the Christopher Lee train, which has built up a bit of a formidable lead over Lee, will continue, or if Christopher Lee will narrow the gap. To the listeners out there, you will have to wait till after this break to find out. Myself and Johnny will be right back after this.
Black Annis Horror Podcast. The podcast that will change your life forever.
That is not what... That's not... No.
Intense.
This is going to be filled with spoilers.
So insightful that you will question your place in the universe.
I don't like gore.
Mind-blowing.
Repetition. Is that a word? That is now a word.
Inspiring.
It's almost like a little advertisement.
Life-changing.
It's one of two things all the way through. Either predictable or stupid.
Black Anna's Horror Podcast. Exclusively available on the Legion Podcast Network.
And there we go. So, it's time for the serious stuff. And in keeping with custom for all these top 10 shows thus far, I will come in with my opinion right at the very start. Now, we have just talked up Christopher Lee to a level which is ridiculous. I mean, he is a force of nature when it comes to acting, or out with acting. The man was remarkable, and he does turn in one of the greatest performances of his career. However, in saying that, I think you have Christopher Lee playing the one role in this movie, which is crazy and mystifying and spectacular. You have Vincent Price pulling out every trick in the book. He's playing a huge variety of roles, and I would argue that some of his Shakespearean renditions are actually pretty fucking captivating. The small vignettes we get of his Shakespearean roles that he's playing are pretty fantastic as well. I think he's funny. I think he's menacing in the movie. And when you have the diversity of acting there, it is very difficult for me not to say that I believe that Vincent Price is the better performer in this round. Mr. Johnny Krug of Kruger Nation, where do your thoughts lie on who is the better performer in this round?
This was a very, very hard one for me, mainly because, like I said before, Duncan, you're making me choose between my children, my fucking children, man. But the thing is, Christopher Lee is outstanding as Rasputin, but everything else around him isn't as enigmatic as he is.
Yeah.
And for me, that almost hinders the performance because he's so awesome. Mm-hmm. But with Vincent Price, it's just, it's like every single thing around him is just enhancing his performance.
Yeah.
To the, like, absolute extreme. And both movies are great, and I'm really glad I got to see Rasputin. In fact, I need to find it because it's amazing. But I ultimately think that Vincent Price just, it's like a scene stealing movie. Like, every time he's on screen, you are absolutely mesmerized about how awesome he is. And I mean, just the scene where the wine guy's there, and he's got, I think it's the wine guy, and Vincent Price has all the face paint on.
Yeah, that's right.
The way he plays that scene is just so awesome. That scene alone for me is just such a standout thing that I think I'm gonna have to go Vincent Price on this.
Yep. I would love to be in a position to argue, but like I say, I'm 100% agreeing with you. I think it's and if my calculations are correct, Johnny, we have handed overall victory to Vincent Price, who currently sits at 11 points, and even if Christopher Lee wins the last two rounds, he does not get enough points to take ultimately this top 10 rundown. So the winner overall is Vincent Price. However,
it saddens me a little bit just because I love him so much.
We do have 2 weeks left and two fantastic sets of movies left. Next week I will be joined by Mr. Danny Trioxin from the Midnight Horror Show to do The Devil Rides Out with Christopher Lee, which is
a great
fucking amazing movie, and The Abominable Dr. Fibes. For see, they just don't get any easier either. They just get more difficult. And then in the final week I'll be joined by Jeff X. Martin from Kiss the Goat to do The Wicker Man from 1973 and The Witchfinder General from 1968. Mr. Johnny Krug, would you like to remind the listeners out there where they can check your shows on the interwebs?
Go to KrugerNation.com. On iTunes, you can search Kruger Nation Horror Podcast. After you type Kruger, it usually pops up, so you probably don't have to type the other three words. On Twitter and Facebook, I'm Johnny Krug, if you want to email me or anything. Just keep listening to podcasts under the stairs.
Thank you very much, sir. Right, I'm going to take a very short break just now. When I come back, I will be closing out the show right after this.
almost midnight. Enough time for one more story.
They try to kill us.
You ungodly warlock.
But we just won't stay dead.
What's the matter? You can't hold your liquor, huh?
The Midnight Horror Show. The internet's goriest and raunchiest horror podcast since 2008. Now live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time at tmhsradio.com. Listen on your mobile device with the TuneIn app, search TMHS Radio, or download us at iTunes, Podomatic, or the TMHS Radio page.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs, episode number 67, where we've been reviewing Rasputin the Mad Monk starring Christopher Lee and Theatre of Blood starring Vincent Price. And there you have it. As it stands just now, we have 11 points to Vincent Price, which means he can no longer be caught by Christopher Lee, and thus he is the victor in this countdown. However, we still have two shows left to go with four fantastic movies still to discuss. So it's now a matter of pride. Can Christopher Lee close the gap to a respectable score, or will Vincent Price continue his domination of this top 10? Joining me next week will be Danny Trioxin from the Midnight Horror Show as we discuss for Christopher Lee The Devil Rides Out from 1968, and for Vincent Price we will be doing The Abominable Dr. Frabes from 1971. And then in the final week, I'll be joined by Jeff X. Martin from Kiss the Goat podcast to discuss The Wicker Man from 1973, starring Christopher Lee, and Witchfinder General from 1968, starring Vincent Price. Thanks very much to Johnny Krug for coming over and joining me on the show. It's always a pleasure to chat to that man. He is currently hard at work on many different projects, but I believe there is another Kruger Nation podcast sometime in the immediate future, so all I can say is get ready to have your ears violated by the sexual tones of Johnny Krug. What a guy, what a guy, a rock star of horror podcasting. Is not even enough to describe how awesome that guy is. So plenty of shows still to come up as we close out this Vincent Price versus Christopher Lee top 10, which I actually think might be my favourite top 10 that I've done. And I really enjoyed the Best of British top 10, and I, you know, thoroughly enjoyed the top 10 best and worst horror remakes. But I think there's no way you can lose talking about the top 10 greatest Christopher Lee movies and the top 10 Vincent Price movies. I mean, it was always going to be a win-win situation for me, and the guests that I've had have been fantastic. So I hope you'll all continue checking out the rest of these shows and the rundown of this as we lead up to Baz v Halloween. And Baz has got a bit of an uphill task ahead of him, because for those that remember, Halloween crushed Baz last year, a resounding 3-2 victory to Halloween, and it's all at play for. Can he bring back a sense of horror pride to himself by tackling and taking on and taking down Halloween this year? Or will my series of found footage movies and, of course, the unsettling cinema bracket be enough to break the man? We will know very, very soon. I just want to take this time to let everyone know that there is a multitude of ways to check out the podcast Under the Stairs. You can check us out, obviously, through iTunes. And if you are checking us out through iTunes, we would appreciate it if you take 2 minutes and leave us some feedback over there. If it was, for example, 5 stars, the more of them we get, the higher up the ratings we get pushed, the more likely it is that people will stumble across our show. You can check us out on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can listen to us directly through our website, podcastunderthestairs.wordpress.com. If you are a subscriber to the Legion Podcast Network, you can listen to us over there as well. We are a proud member of that podcasting network. Join us over on our Facebook group by going to facebook.com/groups/tputscast. And you can interact with us on Twitter. Baz is the admin over on that Twitter page, so you can spark up a conversation directly with Baz or see what he's checking out over there by going to Twitter, and our handle over there is @tputscast.
So a variety of ways to check out the show. Just a gentle reminder as well that we have posters on sale. There were only 75 of them originally created. We're about halfway through them now, which means that there's only half left, and when they're gone, they're gone. They were designed by Graham Humphreys, the horror artist extraordinaire. We love that guy. He's been a previous guest on the show. If you're in the UK, it's £12.50, and that includes your postage and packaging directly out to you. If you're in the States, $23, and that includes your postage and packaging, and that will make its way to you. All money goes to a good cause. It's getting invested back in this show to get a proper website set up for you guys to interact with more. So I'm looking forward to that. So do your part. If you have the money and you fancy looking at myself and Baz on your wall for whatever reason, maybe throw darts, I don't know, donate to the show and we will send you a poster out. I've got nothing left to say. It's been a great show. I'm kind of feeling a bit spent now, so I'm going to go for a lie down in my bed, my bunk bed at the back of the void here, and I look forward to speaking to yous in just a couple of days when we return with Baz V Horror. But until then, please take care of yourselves out there. I will speak to you very soon. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from the void, signing off.